Hey guys, welcome back to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil. How are you, sir?
Robbie Duncan McNeil here, reporting for duty.
Are you speaking Star Trek talk?
Permission to come aboard, Admiral Kim.
Reroute the power to the EPS relays.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
We need to come up with Star Trek rap.
I know, we do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, I do have to say one thing to you.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. It's early when we record this. By the time this comes out, my birthday will have been a few days past.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is
Thank true. You.
You turned 39? What was it?
33.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's almost like you were in some alternate universe where time just sort of, you know, stood still or
evolved so fast that I could have become a lizard even.
You saw Did you see that tweet that I sent you?
Yeah,
right?
I saw that the tweet and then I started looking at the thread. So somebody tweeted a photo that they got a threshold tattoo. Which was amazing, by the way.
Which was awesome. Like a beautiful tattoo.
It was beautiful amazing tattoo. It was like the Star Trek symbol, the chevron or whatever it is. Is that what it's called? The chevron?
The chevron.
That Starfleet symbol. And then it had like the baby lizards coming around from behind it, sort of. But it was just beautifully done with like twinkle stars and...
I interpreted that as the two mama and papa lizards. I know tweeted back saying, oh, those are the babies or whatever. But I thought that was actually you and Janeway.
Could have been.
But never before in my life would I have ever have said, if someone said to me, I bet you I can show you an amazing tattoo incorporating the threshold lizards. I would say, no way.
No way.
But this one was good. But
it was
as
good.
You know, when you went through that message or that
there's
post,
more people thread, with threshold
there's
lizards
multiple people that have tattoos of threshold lizards
yes.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable because for the episode that is seems most universally hated by so many.
I don't know about hated
provocative
the people provide yes I would
unforgettable
say
might be a word yes. to use.
But you know what this says, Robbie? This says you've always been proud of this episode.
Yeah.
And there are people, there are fans that are also proud enough of this episode that they are getting tattoos of to remind them of this episode on their bodies. So
we're going to be reviewing this episode very soon, actually.
Yes.
It's coming up, what, in a couple weeks?
It's coming up right around the corner, exactly.
Oh, I wish I could get Kate to just talk about this a little bit. Oh.
Maybe in a phoner. You could do
maybe.
That, you know?
Yeah.
Like we phoned Bob Picardo. Just hopefully when we phone Kate, she won't injure any part of her body like Bob did.
Right? By the way, I may have mentioned that Ethan Phillips always wears the random flight buttons and t-shirts and stuff for the last 25 years. Every time I see him, he's wearing the button from my fan club when the show was on the air. He just texted me today. Because he often plays this joke that the fan club is still going strong around the world and that he's traveling to some exotic location for a club meeting, but then he always finishes with the punchline and both members might be there something like that. Or, you know, all the members are dead, but I'm going anyway because the meeting's important, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he texted something about he's in Indonesia today for the random flight. Meeting, and so I called him hoping and Rebecca was filming it
because
I was hoping to get into like a whole back and forth that we do about random flight and traveling the world and all the perfect he didn't answer, so I left him a message that I think was very funny, so we're going to post that as part of some of our bonus material on Patreon.
I love that.
So there's a little something for you guys to look forward to as part of our ongoing fan club joke back and forth that Ethan and I have, but hopefully I'll get him and you can hear his side of that joke because it's funny.
I love it. I can't wait to hear that. It was funny hearing the witty repartee between you two.
Well, I got the one. I left him a voicemail and we recorded all of that and I thought I was pretty clever. I hope it's funny. And then I'm trying to get him at some point. And so we're going to put all these calls together into like a bonus part. It'll just be additional bonus material that I think will be funny for everybody to see.
Yeah.
All the Patreon fans. Speaking of Patreon and things coming up, I just want to say Garrett and I have been planning a little contest, and Rebecca and Megan are in on these ideas, and our admirals have kind of suggested some stuff to get people to expand awareness about the Delta Flyers podcast and the Patreon site and all the fun things that you can participate in. So we're doing a contest. We are making some very special, one-of-a-kind contest giveaways. There's going to be, I think, three prizes.
Don't even say it.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Okay.
You're going to have to check out our Facebook and our Twitter. We'll be announcing that very soon, but there'll be a couple different ways you can enter the three different contests. These are going to be one of a kind. Only one. These are going to be made. You can't buy it anywhere. You can't get it any other way. So hopefully people can participate in the contest. It'll be fun. We'll have a few different ways, three different contests going simultaneously, and you can enter all three. Triple your chances to win one of these limited edition, only three ever made. But look for our Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram. We'll be announcing and talking about that soon.
I like the whole mystery behind the one of a kind. I almost want to joke and say, we're going to be giving away Ethan Phillips. Exactly. We're actually just going to give away Johnny Ethan Phillips as one of our prizes.
Yeah.
Very own Neelix.
He likes to eat. He eats a lot. So you're going to have a lot of, you know, yes. groceries, lots of groceries.
You're going to have to be able to provide for his.
Yeah, but we'll give them to you. We are going to have these three contests. Enter one, enter all three, triple your chances. Yeah. There's going to be three one-of-a-kind prizes that we're making through the Delta Flyers. And that'll happen in the next couple of weeks.
You know how people grow their beards out? And are you growing your beard and mustache out for Movember? Is that what you're doing?
I'm growing it out because I had to shave it for the helicopter that we filmed last month.
Yes.
I had to shave it. So now it's coming back in, which I like my beard. Yeah.
It is coming in good. Can you see that I have a little bit of growth that I let in there?
I see a little bit.
It's very, very, very light. Like my 11-year-old stepdaughter says, you should grow out a mustache for Movember. And I say,
yeah.
That ain't gonna happen.
You could because
like it's so sparse. It's so really? Thin. Yeah, there was one day I was in Vegas and I saw this Asian guy with a full beard and I ran up to him and I said, "Can I take a photo of you?" And he looked at me like I was crazy. But the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of Asians in certain ethnic backgrounds just can't grow a full beard. Braveheart beard. Yeah,
I couldn't grow a beard for the longest time when I was in my 20s. No way. I mean, I did.
For real?
It did, but it was very splotchy. And
you mean there's hope for me?
I didn't have a thick beard. Yeah.
Robbie, then there's hope for me then.
If
you were able to finally grow a beard, that means when I'm about 80, I can grow my long Kung Fu master beard. Wisping.
I'm just looking up like Asian beards. Like, I mean, come on. That's a... Some...
That's photoshopped.
You think?
Yes.
Let's see.
That guy's half Asian.
Yeah, maybe. It's funny because I do know it's not common to see Asian beards. So I was like, I want to see some nice Asian beards.
There's
some in there, though. Yeah, if you want a beard. Sometimes I think it would be nice to not have a beard. Like, I don't think it's better either way. It's just different. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. But I see some Asian beards in here.
Yeah. Two more things.
Look at that. Look at that hipster.
See, that to me looks photoshopped. If you can find an Asian guy like that, it's not okay.
No, well, that one's not.
That dude is the unicorn. He's the unicorn of Asian beards, then. Okay. Sad news today. Alex Trebek.
Oh, you heard the name of him, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's that guy, man, he's been around for so long. He's been a staple in everybody's households for so long and finally succumbed to cancer. So rest in peace to Alex Trebek.
Yeah.
And, typically, we don't really say anything regarding politics, but I will have to say that, you know, part of this country is disappointed, part of this country is elated, but I just hope that everybody in this country joins together as one and becomes more unified. We need to see each other as human beings and fellow Americans and get going on that path instead of being divisive and angry, right?
Yeah.
So I just hope
well this said. Country can Well heal. Said. Yeah. Okay. I hope people can come together. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Robbie, we are, it's so funny. Every time we record, Robbie always begins the recording before we start actually recording with the question, what episode are we doing? There's always that little.
I didn't ask you that today, though.
You did. You forgot. It's so natural. It just comes out of you.
Oh.
You did ask me that. Oh, you okay. said that before. Alliances. So that's mm-hmm. the name of the episode. So, Robbie, without further ado, I guess you and I are going to go ahead and go watch this episode, Alliances, and come back and give our recap. Hey, guys, we are back from watching Alliances.
Alliances!
ASMR. Did you do a did you do a thing? Did you do a limerick?
I did do a limerick.
Oh, yeah, oh my God. Okay.
All right. Hold on. All right. So, yeah, we already read the Netflix synopsis. So here's my limerick that will completely synopsize every detail of this episode. You ready?
Yes.
Janeway is tired of the fight. Then she meets a nice trabe one night. He promises peace, then tries to blow all the Majas out of their seats. Now she's positive Starfleet principles are right.
I like it. You had a bit of a pause after the word blows, so it sounded like it was going down the path a little bit of a naughtiness.
No, I would never do that. This is okay. a family podcast. This is a family podcast. By the way, for those listening on the podcast, you're not getting this wonderful experience of seeing I switched into the new Delta Flyers hoodie sweatshirt with our cartoon characters on the front doing the podcast. This is a wonderful collectible and super comfy and soft. I am decked out head to toe in Delta Flyers merch. And I'm doing funny hand signals like the guy, you know, on the street that when it's like sale at the auto used car lot. And there's that guy with the fan that the arms are going crazy. That's what I feel like right now. I'm that guy.
Okay. Or you're the guy on the side of the street that has that sign that says condos for sale and you're flipping and spinning it and everything.
That's me right now.
That's what you're doing. You're kind of
flipping the hoodie.
You're flipping and spinning.
By the way, this is a comfy hoodie. These just came in this week. It's super soft, super comfy. It's wonderful. And you've got, you know, you and me, cartoon characters from the podcast.
Yeah.
And whoops. Well, for you that can't see me doing the Goofy Man dance right now, go to the DeltaFlyers.org.
.org. Yeah.
Check out. I just burped. Did you catch that?
I didn't hear it.
I tried to hide it.
Oh, no, don't hide it.
No, I tried to hide it because we're on a professional podcast.
Listen,
one of the number one rules of podcasting. Don't burp in the middle of your podcast. And I just did it.
Well, I'm going to say that I think the number one rule of podcasting is to be transparent in this day and age. We need to just not hide anything.
Okay.
So if you'd like to redo that burp.
I don't have one right now.
Oh, it's okay. So it's done?
Yeah, it's done.
Okay. All right. But yeah, we're super excited. We have hoodies now. So this is something that we've been thinking and talking about, and now we have them. So
now we have them. And now that everybody knows, I'm going to read my limerick again because I'm super proud of it.
Okay, read it
one more time. Here we go. Janeway is tired of the fight. Then she meets a nice trabe one night. He promises peace, then tries to blow all the Majas out of their seats. Now she's positive Starfleet principles are right. I paused to give it blow.
You did. It's so naughty. This is something that we talked about when I was watching this episode and Megan sitting next to me and she's like, gosh, this episode seems quite naughty. And sure enough, there's
my limerick. And what about your haiku? Let's hear your haiku.
I changed it. I'm not doing a haiku. I'm just doing a poetic synopsis. Okay. Because I felt like 575 was so restrictive and it was too restrictive. So my poetic synopsis would be nonstop Kazon attacks, Starfleet principles in question, Maquis way or the Starfleet way, ally with the Nistrum, the Pomar, maybe the Trabe. In the end, we can trust only ourselves and the Starfleet way.
Is that titled The Starfleet Way? You should title it The Starfleet Way.
It's just entitled The Synopsis.
That doesn't sound very original.
Okay, fine. I'll call it The Starfleet Way.
The Starfleet Way.
We'll do that. We'll do that. But, back on the naughty bit.
Blow them out of their seats.
Blow the Majas out of their seats. I mean, talking about the naughtiness, there's the... You see the go-go dancer and the cleavage in this episode. We typically
Let's talk about that for a minute. Every time in these older Star Trek shows like ours or Next Gen or even DS9, whenever they try to like incorporate a sexy go-go girl, it feels so gratuitous. It feels totally not necessary.
Right.
It just feels uncomfortable. It's just, I don't know why it feels so leering and I didn't like it.
Okay.
I didn't like it at all. I don't know why. I just always feel like it's distracting.
Huh.
I don't know. It'd be better if they had a real weird looking alien. That's not like a human stripper girl. If they had some real alien and all the people, you know, watching this dancer were watching a six armed, you know, something and thinking that that was sexy, then it would be cool. It would feel like sci-fi. But right now it just feels like a gratuitous human version of what we find attractive. I don't know.
That makes sense. So if they had an alien that kind of resembled the aliens from Galaxy Quest when they're not in their human form and they look more like their octopus squid form, like that with the multiple arms, maybe that would
I think that
cool.
would be cool because then you kind of go,
go-go dancer. Yeah,
you'd be like, oh, on these other planets, beauty is very different than our, like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Beauty is universally different and interesting. And I don't know, but there's something about like boiling it down to, oh, it's going to be like something that we humans in, you know, 2020 or whatever, 1994 or whatever.
Yeah. A 90s show.
The 90s show thought was sexy. It just feels like it dates it. That's the other thing. It feels like it dates it.
Yes. I can see that. But that, the inclusion of that cleavagey go-go dancer, your synopsis where you hesitate, you just paused on blow the Majas and then you said out of their seats, you paused right there. And then also Janeway's line when she says to Chakotay in the briefing room,
you can't have it both ways, Commander. If you want to get in the mud with the Kazon, you can't start complaining that you might get dirty. And she kind of says,
it was flirty. Yeah. And he was flirty too.
A little bit. I think so there's the naughtiness, I feel like.
There was always a flirtation between those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Okay. This was
written by Jerry Taylor.
Yes.
Directed by Les Landau, one of our favorites. Uncle Les. We loved Les. Mm-hmm. I thought he did overall a really great job with the directing. I thought there were some great shots.
I have a question.
Good staging.
Did you feel like this, the overall look of this episode to me looked different? I don't know if it was the lighting, the filters, exactly what, but it looked different to me. I mean,
really?
Yeah. Did you feel that at all in terms of like, there's a, for instance, I'm going to be more specific in that scene in the briefing room with, Chakotay, and the way the camera's set up, it's basically Chakotay's in the foreground and you see him really closely. But my God, you could see every nuance of the makeup, the base makeup that was put on his face. Like it wasn't, it was very, very, the colors they were richer or there was more, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like this was a darker episode. I felt like there was a lot of darkness in this episode. Like
the
battle scene is open into mid-battle, and it's a huge battle at the start.
Right.
I felt like it was very dark, like shadowy and emergency lights and all that.
Darker than what we're used to. right?
Yes.
I mean, not as dark as Game of Thrones, close to the end of the final episode, where it's so dark, the battle scene, that you don't see anything. It's just pitch black, you know. It wasn't like that, but yeah, maybe that's it. But I definitely felt that the whole time I was watching, I thought, gosh, this just looks different to me. I don't know, just maybe the filters that we used, and there were filters, right? I mean, when you filmed,
They would use different kinds of filters depending on which actor was there, or if there were prosthetics, they would use a stronger filter than if there were non-prosthetics,
right,
just to try to hide the seams of the prosthetic.
Yeah. Right. Any edges that were visible, a filter can then soften it and then kind of give the illusion that that's not prosthetic makeup on an actor and it's really an alien. Okay. Yeah. So I felt maybe the filters were different on this one. Maybe.
I thought that first battle scene was really exciting, very well done. And and then I think it was in engineering, the actor Raphael Sparge shows up, who's in a few episodes with us. But I had known Raphael Sparge back in many years before in New York City when we were both auditioning a lot as younger actors. We had crossed paths a lot. He's a very talented actor.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that he was in this. I had forgotten that Simon Billig was also in this episode. Uh-huh. Simon, I knew also from New York. We had gone to the same acting school. He had gone to Juilliard when I was at Juilliard.
I actually sent a message to Simon on Facebook.
Oh, you did?
Seeing if he would be. I said, are you available for coming on to our podcast? And he said, possibly. So we have a definite maybe from Simon Billig.
Oh, good.
And I think I would love to reach out to Raphael Sparge. Always been a big fan of Raphael and all the work that he's done. He's a good actor and also a really good guy off camera, which is nice. You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's a good guy.
He doesn't have that Hollywood attitude or any type of, you know, standoffishness that some actors tend to get when they feel like they've elevated above everyone else in some way or shape or form. So super nice guy.
Great guest cast. This whole episode had really good actors, I thought, as our guest stars. A lot of them too.
A lot of guest actors.
Martha Hackett was in the show. I knew I remembered
Martha,
her.
You were right. You called that right. And then, of course, once you said Martha, I should have said
Anthony
DeLongis, my teacher from UCLA, my UCLA theater department teacher, professor. And then, you know, I didn't realize that Simon Billig, who played Hogan, that's his character's name.
Yeah.
And then, Raphael Sabarge is Michael Jonas. Like, I didn't know those guys were Maquis. I didn't really.
I know. I had forgotten that too.
I was like, wait a minute. They're Maquis, you know? Raphael said something very nice to me once. We were at a convention together and that was my third time maybe moderating a panel that he was in. And I think he was in the panel specifically I'm blanking. What is the TV show based on the fairy tales?
Once Upon a Time.
Yes. God dang it. See, this is the problem with age. You get older and you start forgetting things. And I couldn't remember Once Upon a Time, the easiest title in the world.
I've forgotten things since I was 18 years old. So
okay. So I'm not gonna all right. I won't hold it against it. But he did say he stopped the panel to say, like, I just want to tell everyone that Garrett is the gold standard in moderating. And I thought,
I'm sure that was very reassuring, especially starting out. Well, that's awesome. He's a good guy.
He really is.
And Simon's a good guy. Yeah. Good to see them both.
One thing that I noticed in here about Maj Kulla, played by my UCLA theater department professor, Anthony DeLongis, he has almost like two eyelids, and the eyelid that's closest to his eye, if you look at it later in the episode, about two thirds of the way in, I think it's during the meeting, the conference, you get to see, it almost looks like teeth. It's like teeth and a gum. I mean, if you look
at part of his prosthetic.
Yes. Wow. The part of his prosthetics makes it look like he has, the top part of a denture or when you go to the dentist and they do that cast of your teeth of your, you know, they put that material that hardens and they make a little cast. It looked like that, like the teeth, which was so bizarre.
I find the Kazon makeup to be confusing. Like, their hairdos are all different and the details of the way they're faced, but maybe that was all the premise. Although I will say one thing I've learned doing our podcast and talking to all kinds of people, I've learned that Michael Piller really wanted the Kazon story to be a timely tale about urban sociology, I guess you'd say. There were a lot of, back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, the gang situation in Los Angeles was a big problem. It was a big challenge. There was a lot of gang crime and gang violence, and the city and people didn't understand how to deal with it. Michael Piller really wanted the Kazon to sort of be an allegory for that, the gang violence and the gang problems, specifically in LA at the time. So this episode, I think, gives a real, even though Jerry Taylor wrote it, not Michael Piller, I feel like it gives such a great history. Like, we learn that none of this, you know, we think these are all Kazon ships, and they go, wait, no, they took it from the Trabe.
Yeah.
They stole it. And, oh, what's the history there? Why? Oh, because they didn't have anything. They were dominated and put into slavery and treated horribly.
Yeah.
And revolted eventually. And so, I just found that to be, once I was sort of enlightened about who the Kazon were, because I honestly hated the Kazon.
we both made comments, anti-Kazon comments on this podcast, and especially about how can you guys be so, so technologically, it seems like backwards, but yet you have these amazing starships that you're flying around in. And now we learn from this episode, or at least now we remember from this episode, that those are not Kazon ships. Those are Trabe ships. Those are Trabe technology, basically, right? So, so that, now I feel bad about
something. I know. But it's interesting because you and I made 7 years of episodes, but that detail had gotten lost in the history of Voyager for me.
Correct.
So I still had this perspective of, oh, the Kazon, why, you know, why can't they make water? This episode to me was really important to sort of put in context who the Kazon are and why they have all these little factions, these gangs, all the, you know, the different tribes and alliances and things. I liked a lot of things about this episode, especially that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, and we realized the Trabe were all along just not good people to deal with. They were trying to end, well, not end. They were just trying to eliminate the leadership of all the Kazon Majes at the end. And when the Trabe are being introduced to Neelix in that scene where they're in the cave, the lead Trabe gets up and says, I'm Mabus. I'm Mabus. I had to look it up. It's M-A-B-U-S.
Yeah.
M-A-B-I-S. I thought he said, I'm Avis, which is the reference to not only the rental car company, but also the deity in the Orville of the krill species. Basically, they revered their god, which was called Avis. And I thought that's what he said when he introduced himself. And I thought, oh my God, this is where Seth got Avis from this episode. But no, it's Mabus.
Maybe he
heard Avis, and that's why Avis in his show. Who knows?
By the way, this is the first time in the teaser during that big battle, Paris says he wants to go give Torres a hand.
Who says that?
Paris does. That's the first time I've heard him like, oh, Torres is special.
When did Paris say
Captain,
that?
Captain, permission to go to engineering and give Torres a hand. Yeah, he says that in the teaser. So maybe there's the beginnings of Torres and, you know, he's going to go try to turn her since she's got the hots for everybody else on the ship, clearly. By the way, and also in the teaser, Chakotay says, you know, think like the Maquis to Janeway.
Yeah.
And we learn that this is the fourth attack in 2 weeks and that they've already lost three crew members.
Yes.
So how many are left? I mean, it's not a big ship, Voyager. It's not like there's thousands of people. There's maybe 200 people or, you know.
There's under 200. We need a running crew count of like who's still alive.
Well, he says we lost three crew members.
We lost three. Minus three is what we have to have. Mm-hmm. This is like a blackjack counting cards.
Yes, exactly.
Minus three. That whole briefing room memorial for crewman Bandera, I kind of, you know, wish we had kind of explored that guy a little bit more in prior episodes.
It's always hard when something like this happens and Chakotay's giving this speech about, you know, I was so close to him and like, he saved my life when we were in the Maquis or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't we ever see you talk to him? You know, like we're so close to him. Like, I know that it's hard because they can't keep 1,000, you know, or even hundreds of characters alive. And I know that these scripts sometimes are written without, you know, by separate writers and they don't always know exactly who's written what. But when they do something like this, it would be more meaningful if there had been the setup for his death, that we had seen a moment between him, you know.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And at the end of that memorial, at the end of the memorial for crewman Bandera, we all stand at attention. We all get up.
Yeah.
And we watch as I think that stand or the background actor was, I think that was Carrie. Do you remember Carrie? I think that was Carrie. Carrie, he brings the bosun's whistle up and he does a, and that's the end of the memorial. And I remember when we filmed that specifically, distinctly, I remember thinking, wow, that's so anticlimactic. It's just this little tiny little like, here, let me pull out this tiny little Barbie doll size whistle and go. And that's
I wonder if he knew how to do that before and that's why they wrote it in there, or if they said, hey, can you do this? Do you remember?
I don't think
he learned.
I thought that was put in post. I thought he just did it silently and we just stood there while he did that.
I remember a sound coming out of
it. Did you hear something? Okay.
I think when we filmed that moment you're talking about, I do remember that though. I remember I had flashbacks of being there and filming that moment.
I just felt cheated by the bosun's whistle. I wanted the bagpipes. I wanted I wanted a meal, but I got an appetizer at the end of that memorial.
I hear you. All right. Janeway goes to talk to Tuvok about whether or not to do this and get some wisdom, some advice from Tuvok. And Tuvok uses the example of Spock, who recommended an alliance with Klingons.
Yes.
And I had to go look that up because I was like, is that true? And that is true that Spock and his father, I forget the character, Sarek or something like that.
S-A-R-E-K. Yeah.
Sarek. Yeah. Yeah. They were part of that. The Klingons and Starfleet forming a truce. So I thought that was kind of cool. Also, they're in the briefing room, and Neelix says to the captain, he goes, you know, there's a planet nearby, and there's a Kazon down there that owes me a favor. A rather large favor, actually.
It's a naughty episode, right?
Something about that, I was like, that was really loaded. A rather large favor.
Large favor.
Actually. I really want to know what kind of favor he owes him.
Oh my goodness. I know. This is inquiring minds want to know.
Right? Neelix has really gotten around the Delta Quadrant. So he flies down there. We talked about the stripper. I think that was unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And then Neelix is, by the way, and he's arrested in the scene. But by the way, he had a cut on his head. And when he's arrested, and he's got red blood.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
That's the first time I think we've ever seen Neelix bleeding that I can remember.
Blood or any injury. Yeah, he's never been injured like that. Yeah,
so he has red blood, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, From some angles, it kind of looked like strawberry jam. But yes, the fact that he has red blood, that's something that they could have definitely added a different color to that, right? Yeah. He could have had orange blood or neon green predator blood or whatever.
Something. You
know, they could have did blue. Something. Yeah, something. Like the color of your backdrop right now, that Aurora Borealis color blood.
Exactly. You didn't do that. I also, jumping back before we saw his blood and he went down to the cave and everything, when Janeway tries to form some sort of treaty with Kulla, and he Maj Kulla, Anthony DeLongis, and he clearly pushes it too far. Right. He wants crewmen on Voyager and his crewmen. Janeway makes the offer. She says, we'll offer you supplies and medical assistance. And I'm thinking, why don't you just offer them water? Because they don't know how to make water. If you really want to seal the deal, just say, we'll give you water and you'll be good.
Janeway's like, we're going to give you water. In fact, we're going to up the ante. We're going to give you French mineral water known as Evian. Evian water.
Sparkling, flat.
We're going to give you Fiji water. Evian, your choice of water. We'll give you whatever brand water you'd like.
Yeah. So yeah, I think she could have closed that deal if she had just offered water. She didn't offer water.
Good old H2O would have closed that deal, but nope.
But now we know why they can't make water. Because that's not all their technology.
Oh God!
All right, so Neelix is the trade prisoner, and this dude asked Neelix to join them. Like, out of the gate, the guy's like, "Here's our whole plan." He lays it out, which was very suspicious to me.
Definitely.
I'm like, I don't trust this guy. He's doing something, because you would not have a stranger, especially a stranger who's not even your species, you know?
Right.
And just throw out your whole revolt plan. So
it sounds like a setup. It sounds like Neelix is going to be the patsy. You know, he's going to take the blame for whatever is going to happen.
Yep.
So you're definitely second guessing or wondering what's the motive behind Mabus. What is he doing?
Yeah.
Do you remember that scene where Simon Billig is talking to Roxanne? So we have Hogan talking to Torres, and he says Baylana. So he pronounces it the way that Roxanne pronounces it. Sometimes, right?
Baylana
instead of Bulana, which is the way I've been doing it forever.
Listen, I'm married to her. I know how to say it.
Do you? Okay, Bulana. Good. Bulana? All right. So that's your own. But I thought it's Bay, but okay. It's okay. She says, who are you to be second guessing Captain Janeway? So she dresses down Hogan, which is identical to the scene in the pilot where Torres is not happy about the union of the Maquis and the Starfleet. And so on the bridge, she turns to Chakotay and says, who is she to be? So basically it was the same kind of emotion and same whatever, but instead of her questioning Janeway, now it's Billig questioning Janeway. And then her coming back at Billig at Hogan with the same amount of vitriol or the same amount of forcefulness, right? That Klingon forcefulness. We see that. It was so reminiscent of the pilot episode. I'm like, oh my God.
You know, Voyager sees this giant armada and they think they're dead. You know, Kazon are just going to destroy them. And it turns out Neelix pops up on the screen. He's like, it's not the Kazon. This is the Trabe.
Right. We are not in deep caca. We are told.
No.
Okay. It's the Trabe.
And Mr. Trabe, dude, he comes over, Mabus. We'll call him Mabus the Avis.
Or I'm going to call him Trabe Bill Pullman.
Yeah, he was kind of like a Bill Pullman a little bit.
Bill Pullman-ish kind of character.
So Trabe Bill Pullman.
Trabe Bill Pullman.
Comes over, has a little dinner and some water, because we do water great.
We are so good with water.
We're so good with water on Voyager. And he comes over and he tells this whole story. And that's what I was talking about with the Michael Piller of it all.
Yeah.
I loved... You know, usually these old backstory stories are really boring, but I feel like because we've spent a year and a half of episodes confused about who these Kazon people are.
Right.
It just, for me, I found that really satisfying. I'm like, oh, wow, this all makes sense now. It was like one of those Game of Thrones moment where you spend like 2 or 3 years wondering why something's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know, it all comes together. So I thought that dinner was great. Yeah, I thought it was shot well. The performances were good. The writing was great. Then we go into, we see someone's on a desktop monitor, some Kazon man named Reddick. And wait a minute, there's Michael Jonas. That's
Raphael Sabarge.
Raphael Sabarge. He's
secretly contacting the Kazon.
Dang. Yeah, those Maquis. Those dang Maquis.
Those dang Maquis. It's so sad, too. Raphael's such a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Spy.
Turn him into a little weasel. Yeah.
Yeah, that hurt me. My feelings were hurt.
I agree. Yeah. So all the communications protocols, he shared all this technology with them. He says, contact us again. And clearly he's been doing something with Seska because he says, you know, Seska gets around with everybody. Almost like B'Elanna.
Oh,
but God. Yeah, there's clearly like a plan afoot. So that's kind of cool. I thought that was surprising. I'd forgotten that Raphael Sabarge was a traitor.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of the doctor and Kes treating some of the trabe for malnutrition and some of their injuries.
Tiny bit.
Little, though. Yeah.
Janeway yelled at me in this episode. So. Remember?
Oh, yeah, she did. Well, you got a little mouthy with her.
I did.
You got a little mouthy, dude. I got to say, like, I would have.
In the video reactions that I recorded of this thing, this is the reason Megan started making fun of me, saying, that's why you weren't promoted. You were such a, you know, mouthy and you're kind of like, a jerk. You know, you look at what you're saying. I'm like, well, look, I'm just saying what's the obvious. I'm not, you know.
You got a little mouthy. I think you like cut her off even, which you just don't do. You don't cut off the captain.
I did.
Yeah.
I didn't know my place. You know, sometimes I let my emotions get the best of me, you know, as Harry.
So they go to this conference and all of these Majes are there, which by the way, you know, you see all these Kazon in one room with those hairdos and it's like the Miss America pageant. It's like... There's so much hairspray and you know, the higher the hair, the higher to God, closer to God. Isn't that what they say?
And our next contestant, Mr. Kazon Oglamar.
That's what it sort of felt like the Miss America pageant to me. And the way that Janeway and those guys were standing there.
They were the judges.
Yeah, like greeting them and sort of walking by. And a little Miss America pageant of,
Right.
I also got to say, like, that set to me felt a little cheap. Like, I feel like if you're gonna have this big meet and greet where, you know, this big thing, it should have been in a much larger, more dramatic space. It felt like some side room, like the janitor's closet at the, you know, the Trabe Hotel, with kind of a one window over awkwardly over in the corner, which of course, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that window seems set designed for a reason. Like, it's not, it's kind of, it's, I didn't remember the massacre attempt, but I was like immediately drawn to that window just doesn't belong there. Why?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have the same, when I was watching this and they were bringing all these, where they're talking about the conference and all the Majes are going to be there. I thought there were more sex than this.
I thought there would,
Didn't they talk about?
There should have been like 30 of them there.
Yeah,
This should have been
just, you know.
Yeah.
There should have been all type of pomp and celebration, or you know.
This is clearly a budget thing. Like, they just
didn't have the money. They didn't have enough money to make the set look good. They didn't have enough money to have more background Majes of every single sect there, right? So there should have been 30 of them at least. Right?
But there was like six. And there should have been assistants, and there should have been.
You
know, nowadays, I think with technology, you could do things called digital replication or tiling or all kinds of things.
Correct.
So you could have maybe only hired 6 or 8 actors to put on the makeup, but you could have duplicated them in ways that you could have shot as if there were 100 of them in the room.
Right.
And I think that would have been something nowadays we might have done. But back then, the digital duplication was not common and very expensive and all hand done. And
now the technology is cost effective. You could actually put that in and it's not going to break your budget for this episode, right?
Yeah, you could have done it. It would have been within reach, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah. Back then it wasn't. I loved when they got emergency beamed out when she realizes what's happening and the ship's about to shoot and they're all getting beamed out and they've all got these faces like, "Arr!" And then you look over at what's his name, Mabus or whatever.
Mabus is like,
he's like smiling. He's got this big smile on his face.
He's like, "You're gonna die," kind of like through his smile. Yeah, he was very
well. If you remember when we had to do those beam outs, we'd kind of get there and then you'd have to freeze.
Yeah.
One,
two, three, four.
And then they'd step you out.
Yeah.
And then they keep rolling. Out. One, right. two, and they count. Right. So I'm sure when he got in there with a smile, he was like, "Okay, and run in and freeze." And he had a smile on his face. And he's like, "One, two, three, four.
And step out. One, two. Oh, God. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. But at least, you know, to Janeway's credit, she does warn all the Maji. She's like, "Get down." And no one really kind of got down. They were like, "What?" They were kind of like discombobulated. But she did try to warn them. And that whole meeting had shades of Braveheart. You know, where they had to meet with all the Scottish nobles were meeting and the English were basically waiting to kill them all. So and that was similar to that.
When did Braveheart come out? I wonder. Because so often, you know, on TV shows, just a little sidebar, like episodes of television will often parallel some great, wonderful movie. And when did it come out?
1995. Exactly. There you go. watching Braveheart.
I'm just saying.
Influenced by Braveheart.
A lot of times the big movies come out and the episodes, all those writing staffs on shows are like,
if we did a
Braveheart episode of Voyager, maybe it would be like this. And that's funny that it came out. I just had a feeling.
Because writers can do that. They can take one idea and then write around that idea of like the meeting of the conference. And then
I used to have this book on my little reference book on my reference shelf that said, I forget the number, but it was something like 13 dramatic situations or something. And it, there's other books, other numbers, but this book basically boiled down all stories into like 13 models or 20, whatever the number was. It was much less than you would think.
You don't remember the name of the book?
Basically, like, I can't remember. I want to say 13 dramatic situations or something like that.
Yeah.
But it boiled down all stories to the core of there's only a handful of stories. There's boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl. There's boy has it all, boy loses it all, or girl, whatever. You can replace the boy girl. You can replace and you can move it around a little, but it fundamentally is the same few stories. Kind of like Joseph Campbell writes a lot about the hero's
journey.
The hero's journey is one, it's the same story told over and over again.
So
I'm not surprised that Braveheart came out in 95 while we were making this particular episode, and they might have been influenced by it because there's only a handful of stories.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The only other note I have for this episode, I pretty much talked about everything I need to talk about.
Same.
The only other note I have is when Janeway sees the Kazon Armada, which turns out to be a Trabe Armada.
Yeah.
She does the left eyebrow, Vulcan eyebrow raise, you know, the spot.
She's amazing.
She does the little whoop, like that.
She's amazing. There's something about Kate Mulgrew's performance in this episode in particular for me, but I'm sure it's consistent with every episode. She can make every moment so intense. It's like the drama. She can take something that just could be like, you know, I don't know. How much power left in the engines? How much power left in the, like she does so many amazing powerful twists and turns to the simplest It's pretty amazing. And she pulls it off. It's like, it's,
that's her thing though. That's how she is in real life. Right.
That is she's totally how she is in real life.
She gets very deep and very intense very quickly. So that's good.
No, I thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this episode and was happy about some of the mythology of the Kazon. That to me was a total winner. So yeah, that's my thoughts on this episode. I do have a theme and I tried to articulate it concisely. The theme for me is, guiding principles are often more reliable than shifting personalities. Mic drop.
Wow.
I think to me, the theme is people can be unreliable. People can shift and change, and we may not judge them correctly, good or bad. But if we have strong principles, if I have strong principles and I stick to those strong principles, that those will keep me centered and grounded and I can rely on those. And so I think, you know, Janeway realizing in the end that, you know, Starfleet is our best ally. Starfleet principles are our best allies.
Yeah, that was her quote. The principles and ideals of the Federation are the best allies we can have. So, yeah. I think for me, the theme, or at least the message to be learned from this episode, came from the the captain's ready room scene between her and Tuvok. Tuvok is breaking off wisdom about the Vulcan plant, you know, and he said that in the beginning, the plant was weaker, but in time, it grew to be stronger than if they were just alone. You know what I'm saying? So, and that to me, yes, that theme to me relates to now. Post-election, you know, Republican Party, Democratic Party needs to graft together like the orchid and the Vulcan plant.
Well, our whole world needs to do it.
Countries
need to do it because our planet.
Yes,
we can debate the details of the science of, you know, global warming or pollution or, you know, whatever, but we need to pull together as a planet.
Yes.
For all of our
It needs to be a global movement, but it starts, you know, grassroots, locally, right? So you have to have that unity and that camaraderie, that help, the helping attitude instead of that judging attitude, right? Yeah. You really have to sit there and say, how can we help this other person? I may not agree with this other person in terms of what they believe in their everything, but how can I help this person succeed in life or do better in life? And how can that person help me succeed in life and do better?
And how can I be curious about the things I don't know? How can I be curious about what they believe in, what they stand for that I may not understand?
Yeah.
You know, so yes.
Yeah. So down. Some very timely
down,
thing.
Down with all of it. Good, cool. Good wisdom from Star Trek again.
Yes, it is.
Learning to be a better human.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Join us next week when we will be reviewing none other than Threshold.
Threshold. And don't forget about our contest. We got three contests. Check out our Instagram, our Twitter, and our Facebook page. We're going to have an announcement about that real soon.
Yep.
Three one-of-a-kind special prizes, three contests. You can enter all three of them if you want for better odds, but we're going to be giving away some stuff. So check out our social media and visit us at our Patreon site and stay involved. It's been the whole community of the Delta Flyers is growing every day, and I love you guys. It's been really exciting this year to reconnect with Star Trek and our show and this community. So we'll see you soon.